Even though in our previous year we began a discussion about the concept of choshud, and we certainly, as our Gemara here in Masechta Becharis, Daf Lamed Aleph teaches us so strongly that we can't rely on a choshud. However, if there is a mashgiach who's saying that this food is kosher, we can rely on the mashgiach, and we don't need to have more than one mashgiach because there's a concept of eid echad nemen bisurim. And Rav Moshe, in Charles Chuvas Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalid, Simen Aleph, explains what does Hashgacha mean. He says Hashgacha doesn't mean that because this person has a Hashgacha, and until now he's not trustworthy, but because he has a Mashgiach, because he has a Hashgacha, so he's going to be embarrassed to do the wrong thing, and therefore we could trust him. He says, that's not what Hashgacha means. He says what Hashgacha means is that the Mashgiach is taking the responsibility to say that I'm saying that the food is kosher. Then that's why we could eat that food. There's a very big discussion in the Paiskim. If you ask a question of a factory, and they tell you that all the ingredients were kosher, and the person is not Neman, he's a choshud, can we trust him? What is this heter based on? The basis of this heter is there's a concept in halacha of umen loimare amnosei. So can we rely on umen loimare amnosei? So Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe Yerodeya Chelek Aleph Simen Nun Hei says that maybe there could be a halachic argument made why we could rely on the concept of umen loimare amnosei. He says, on a practical level, it's very difficult to have all the proper conditions to be able to rely on umen lo mare umnase. There are paiskim, however, that say that if you know personally the individual who prepared the food, and he prepared it in his house, and you know that he has a completely kosher house, so now there's a question, does that person need a hechsher? Rav Moshe Sternbuch, in that tshuva that I quoted before, takes a stricter approach that you can't rely on him. Why? Because he quotes back to Rav HaTakana Arba Arotzes that we mentioned in our previous shiur, that everybody who prepares food for sale needs to have a hashgacha, and you can't eat without the hashgacha. There are, however, Paiskim, the Sefer Oyel Yaakov quotes Rav Israel Arbach Shlita, that says if you personally know the individual who prepared the food in his house, and you know he's a mukhsa b'kashrus, then you could purchase that food. And l'havdol b'chaim l'chaim, so too is the opinion of Rav Sarya Dovletsky Tzitzal. In a store, this is a very important halacha, in a store where there's kosher meat and non-kosher meat sold, and you need to rely on the owner, on the butcher, to tell you that this is a kosher piece of meat and this is a non-kosher piece of meat. So there's a takana from the Agudas Rabbanim. The one may not give hashgacha on such a place. And there's a tshuva for a Moshe, Nigris Moshe, Yerodei Echela Gimel Simen Yud Ches, that also says that even with a Mashgiach, you should not buy meat in such a shop. Which opens up the question that there are many supermarkets that have packaged meats, packaged kosher meat, and packaged non-kosher meat. And based on what we just said from the Gudas Rabbanon, and from Moshe Zatzal, how could one purchase meat from such a store? So Rav Belsky Zatzal, in the Shalos Tshuva Shulchan Alevi, Perik Chav Vav, Shela Beis, discusses this issue. He says, Ramosh was speaking in a place where they had the same packaging area, the same butchering and packaging area for the kosher and non-kosher meat. And now we need somebody to be able to identify on every piece of meat, this is the kosher meat, this is the non-kosher meat. But if you have two totally separate areas, one area for the kosher meat and one area for the non-kosher meat, and they're packaged separately and they're packaged in different types of packaging, it's not the same. Certainly, says Rabelsky Zatzal, that if a store is selling kosher meat that they didn't touch at all, it came pre-packaged to the store. So even though that store has a non-kosher butchering area, but the meat that they sell, the poultry that they sell that's kosher, is from a separate, it comes already pre-packaged, that everybody would agree is mutter. You may not be a guest in the home of somebody who is choshed to eat non-kosher food. However, if a person, we go back to the question, if a person, we don't know his status, if you could eat by him, as we discussed in our previous year. Certainly, however, says the Shach, and Simon Kuf Yutes, Sif Katan Dalet, that if you're at a home of a Choshet, and he tells you that, yes, I'm not careful about kosher food, but this food that I'm serving you is kosher, since that person has no nemunas, we can't rely on him. Certainly, however, if the food is wrapped, it's sealed, he brings out to you food in a closed box, on a closed, properly sealed tray, there the poskim say we could eat there. We don't have to be so concerned that the person deliberately went and switched the, put non-kosher food into the kosher properly sealed container. There is a question, how far we could take this heter? Can you l'chatchili eat in such a home? But the poskim seem to take the opinion, if you know for sure the food you're eating is kosher, properly sealed, you may eat in such a person's home. There's a very big question that many poskim discuss. There are people who have relatives, we baruch Hashem, live in a world of balei tshuva, who have relatives who are not yet observant. And their relatives want them to come eat in their homes, and they're willing to make their home kosher in order that their children, grandchildren, should be able to eat in their home. And the question that comes up, what's the halacha? Rav Moshe Steinbruch in the Shalos Tshuvos, Tshuvos van Hoggis, Chela Gimel, Simen Reish Nun Dalet, discusses this Shiloh. And he quotes, as we've mentioned, that a person who's a choshed is not Nemon. And he brings rayas from different places in Shas that you can't eat by a person who's a choshed. And therefore, he takes a strict approach to this Shiloh. But he does say that we do need to take do we need to take two other considerations into mind? One is, there's a concept of Darkei Shalom. People have to learn how to live with other people and not to make animosity. So if by refusing to eat in this person's house, you're going to create animosity, and on the contrary, by agreeing to eat in this person's house, you will show the person that even though I'm observant and he isn't, we know how to live together. And that may even bring that person, that family, closer to Torah and mitzvahs. That's a consideration to take into place. And then the other consideration that takes into place is that even though the person may not be observant, but you know that the person is a person who's an honest person. And you know that he keeps a kosher kitchen. And if he says he keeps a kosher kitchen, we could rely on what he says. And therefore, in those circumstances, he says that we could take all of this into consideration and we could be makel. A person, as we mentioned, where we have to be concerned that he's staying by a place where they're not so makbar and kashrus. But let's say they are makbar and kashrus, but they may not be makbar to the same level that I am. Certainly there, the Paiskim take a more lenient rule and they're makel. Ramosha has a tshuva, in Shal's tshuva's Igris Moshe, Yerdei Chelik Aleph Simen Nun Dalet. He discusses, this is still in the Russia that he lived in, where there were parents who were still religious, but their children were not observant. And the parents were already elderly and that they cannot take care of themselves. Can they eat by their children's home? They have nowhere else to eat. And the children are telling them that we're keeping everything kosher. Ramosha says we could rely on them, and he says we could eat in their house.